The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on October 31st, 1983 in Honolulu, Hawaii. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Verse 44.
Sarva veda maya idam atmanatma atmayonina prajasri jayata purvam yascha maya nusedate.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. By following my instructions, you can now generate the living entities as before by dint of your complete Vedic wisdom. And the body that you have directly received from me, the supreme cause of everything. Translation with repetition. By following my instructions, you can now generate the living entities as before. By dint of your complete Vedic wisdom.
And
the body that you have directly received,
from me,
the supreme cause of everything. Text 44.
Maitreya uvacha, tasmaivam jagat rashtre, vadhana purusheshvara. Yadzidam svena rupena kanjana vastirodhade tasma evam jagat shastre vadhana purusheshvaraha yadzidam svena rupena
Creator of the universe, to expand the primeval Lord, the personality of Godhead, in his personal form as Narayana, disappeared. Translation and repetition.
The sage Maitreya said,
after instructing Brahma, the creator of the universe,
to expand,
the primeval Lord,
the personality of Godhead,
in his personal form,
as Narayana, disappeared.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Before his activity in creating the universe, Brahma saw the Lord. That is the explanation of the Chatusloki Bhagavatam. When the creation awaited Brahma's activity, Brahma saw the Lord, and therefore the Lord existed in his personal form before the creation. His eternal form is not created by the attempt of Brahma, as imagined by less intelligent men. The personality of Godhead appeared as he is before Brahma, and he disappeared from him in the same form, which is not materially tinged. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 3rd canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. This clears up one doubt that sometimes the Mayavadis raise. The Mayavadis seem to think that the personality of Godhead is a creation of the material world. They want to say everything is impersonal. So for those students of the Vedic literatures, in this chapter it has been irrevocably established that before Brahma could create, that he was able to have the audience with Lord Narayana, the expansion of Krishna, and it is only by Narayana's mercy that he was able to create. What to speak of creating Narayana? Only Brahma could create by getting the mercy of Narayana. Narayana exists before the creation, during the creation, and after the dissolution of this material world. So those philosophers should have no doubt that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond this material creation. Even Shankaracharya, who is their founder, so to speak, he has clearly said, Narayana paro bhaktat, that Narayana is beyond the material unmanifested state. That means that Narayana is in the spiritual state, beyond the material world. Of course, the Bhagavatam explains that there are the three features of Godhead. Vedanti tat tattvam yadam tattvam yadjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti sadhyate. That is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So the personalists, the devotees of the Lord, they understand the personality of Godhead, and automatically they also know the Paramatma feature and the Brahman feature, or the impersonal feature. There's no difficulty for them to understand all the features, but for the impersonalists, they're not able to understand the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared in this material world also on his own free will. He is Krishna himself, and he came into the material world for his own purpose. You see, the difference that when Krishna, in his expansion, or directly as Lord Krishna or as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, come into the material world, they're not coming like an ordinary living entity who comes under the dictations of karma. A normal conditioned soul doesn't have any freedom to choose who will be the mother and father. They are forced by the laws of nature to take a birth, and they are put into a particular situation. And they're under the dictation of the laws of karma during their activities and their lifetime. But Krishna, when he personally comes, or Chaitanya, when he personally comes, they're beyond this jurisdiction of the material world. Rather, the material world is simply acting on behalf of the Lord. We have seen in India where many ministers and the vice president and so on, they sometimes visit our temple, president of India, different people, they sometimes visit our temple. And they tell their secretaries that you make arrangement, I'm going to the Hare Krishna Center. And about a week ahead, the policemen come and say that so-and-so is coming here. Everything is ready. They check it out, where they're going to stay, this, that. And the day before, again, some other officer comes and checks it out. Then the day they come that morning, the police come to stand in front of the main gate, in front of the temple, all around. And then when they finally come, then they come with a pilot car in front, and then they come, and then behind they got more police, and, you know, it's like a whole thing. Then when they come in, then we have to feed them, the five secretaries and their family and their attendants, and then all the six drivers for all the cars, and then another place they had to feed all the policemen. It's a big operation. We can see that how they simply tell their secretary, all right, I want to go to this place. We go invite them, we tell the secretary, and from then on, the police and the district administration and the state administration. One time, the lieutenant governor of Pondicherry was coming to Mayapur as the official state guest of the state. He was the head of the Union territory, and he was coming as an official state guest, attending a function in Mayapur. So for 1 month before his arrival, they had repaired the roads, and there's a little demarcation alongside what is the government road property and what is the public property. They have little white stones that sit in the side of the road, about 30 feet, 40 feet from the road. So those, they painted white, put little numbers on it showing how many miles to Mayapur, things like that. They did so many different things to prepare for this dignitary's arrival. So similarly, Krishna, he just tells his internal energy that I'm going to appear in the material world. She tells the material energy, and everything is automatically arranged. They don't have to, Krishna doesn't have to do anymore. To think that Krishna is coming like an ordinary living entity, you see, forced by the laws of material nature, this is a very big misunderstanding, which these slokas tend to educate us in, by saying that even Lord Brahma is completely underneath the domain of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So, when Lord Chaitanya appears, also, the place that he appears is something very special. It's not an ordinary place. That place is part of the spiritual world. It's underneath the protection of the internal energy. Just like when the governor is coming, at that time he's not leaving his security up to us. He's got his own policemen. The government, even if he doesn't care, but the government doesn't leave it up to us. They bring their people. They don't want anything to happen while he's there in their state. So the spiritual energy, the place where Lord Chaitanya is, although there's not any question of any danger, but nonetheless, the spiritual energy expands in that particular area just to accommodate the Lord's pastime. That area is permanently part of the internal energy's activities or jurisdiction. Just like the governments have got their embassies all over the world, and those embassies fly the flag of that country under international law. Well, the holy Dhamma, the abodes of the Lord in any part of the universe, wherever he appears, they are in their own way flying the flag of the internal energy. They're not under the domain of the material energy. You see, superficially it may appear that way on the crust of things the material energy is maintaining. It's like the road in front of the embassy might be maintained by the municipality, or they might be giving the water. But technically, legally speaking, the actual embassy is underneath the jurisdiction of that specific government. So, since the material energy is the expansion of the spiritual energy, there's not any conflict there, but superficially things on the Dhamma appear to be going on as usual in the material world, but actually the area of the holy Dhamma is under the spiritual potency's jurisdiction, and ultimately she reigns supreme there. And for those who have the eyes to see the spiritual vision, they can see the activities of the spiritual nature at work. They can see the pastimes of the Lord. So this is very important for us here in Hawaii, because we're living in Nunavadvip, which is named after the original Navadvip. So in Navadvip, we should understand what is the nature of the holy Dhamma. Actually, Navadvip is considered to be Gupta Vrindavan, or the hidden Vrindavan. It is the most guarded secret in the Vedic literature. Because Lord Chaitanya was appearing in a disguise, He was coming in a, you could say, clandestine role. He was coming as a devotee. He wasn't coming in a proclaimed way as the Supreme Lord. Now, this is predicted in practically every Vedic literature, that in the Kali Yuga, there's a dozen places where it predicts the Supreme Lord comes as a devotee, not as the Supreme Lord. He comes in this Kali Yuga after Krishna in this specific covered role, where he covers his glory as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes in the role as a devotee. Now, if President Reagan was going to, or any, you know, I don't do it nowadays, but say in the previous time, the king, they do make spot checks amongst the citizens. You find in the Krishna book that Krishna sometimes would dress himself up as an ordinary citizen and go out amongst his people to hear what they're speaking about the government, about the things, and really find out where things are at, you see. Of course, now you have the newspapers doing it for you. But in those times, they wouldn't, I see, pretty intelligent not to have these kind of newspapers. So they would just have to know what the people were talking about. But if in the corner they had the people with the bugles proclaiming, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that here the king is coming in secret, incognito, at 5 o'clock today, right? Everyone would be standing there waiting, you know, to look. It would be completely ridiculous. So, obviously, they don't come proclaim. So here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has given in the Vedas that he's coming in the Kali Yuga. So how is it that, how will it be secret? Everyone's going to know, oh, here's the predicted Supreme Personality of Godhead, Avatar. It would lose its complete significance if everybody knew that he was coming. He wouldn't be able to act as a devotee. Everyone would be calling him out as the Supreme Lord. So this secret was revealed when Jiva Goswami met Lord Nityananda. Jiva Goswami is of course the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and he was living in Ramakeli, where he met Lord Chaitanya as an infant. And when he grew up, he decided that he would also go to Vrindavan, you see, where Rupa and Sanatana were. He was going to join them, but on the way he wanted to meet Lord, he wanted to see Navadvip Dham, and he was hoping to see Lord Nityananda. So as he was going towards Navadvip Dham, walking from Ramkeli, about, say roughly, 200 kilometers, say 150 miles, not such a long walk for those days. Considered walk 1,000 miles to Vrindavan, it was a fairly straight walk, take a few days. So he walked from Ramakeli to Navadvip, and as he was approaching Navadvip, he started to be overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy, thinking that I'm going to the holy dhyan, going to Navadvip. And then as he entered the area of Navadvip, that he was feeling transcendental ecstasy, and he just fell down on the ground and started paying his obeisances. Then as he went into towards the Mayapur area, he was very fortunate enough to meet Lord Nityananda. There he fell down from a distance when he could see Lord Nityananda. He couldn't believe it that he was seeing Lord Nityananda. He fell down offering his obeisances, and Lord Nityananda came over, and in his unique transcendental jovial mood, he put his lotus feet right on the head of Jiva Goswami. Blessed him. So I was waiting for you. Jiva Goswami, and after so many discussions, he requested that he was very eager to know what was the significance of the holy dham of Navadvip. If he could have this revealed to him, that he would be very satisfied. So Lord Nityananda agreed to take him on a parikrama. Parikrama means a tour of the nine islands of Navadvipa, starting from the central island, Antardvipa, and going through the other nine islands, Srimantadvip, Godrandvip, Madhudvip, Koladvip, Ritudvip, Janudvip, Madhudvandvip, Ruddhadvip. These nine islands comprise the total Navadvip Dham. So, Lord Nityananda agreed to take him, and first they went to the house of Mother Sachi. And Mother Sachi prepared prasad for both Nityananda Prabhu, and Jiva Goswami was able to take the prasada from Mother Sachi. Very great honor. He was overwhelmed. He fell down on the ground, offering them all obeisances. He couldn't believe his great fortune. So, this type of, there are many pastimes like that. Anyway, Jiva Goswami was able to see was able to go to the birth site there. Nityananda Prabhu explained what is happening, what are the different places where the Srivas Angan was, Srivas's house, all the different places in the Antardvipa. The five ghats were still there, of course, where Jagai Madhai ghat, the one that was built by Madhai, Madhai's ghat, the Varakana ghat, all the various ghats mean the bathing stairways going into the Ganges, which are considered to be very sacred. Like this, Lord Nityananda was explaining. So basically, it's explained that the Navadvip Dham is 21 yojanas. The total Gora Mandala Bhumi is 21 yojanas in circumference. And Navadvip is 16 kroshas, or 4 yojanas, in circumference, in perimeter. So that comes to about 10 miles in diameter for Navadvip Dham. And for the Gora Mandala Bhumi, it's 21 yojanas, my mathematics is correct, it's approximately 168 miles, 8 miles per yojana. And the diameter comes into, I forget what it is, but it's quite a significant amount, about 84 miles or something like that. 2 pi r, isn't that the diameter? 2 pi r. So, or something like that, I forget. It works out to about, they call them Vrindavan, 82 krosha, that means 21 yojana. I forget what the diameter is on that. Anyway, that is the total area of Gora Mandala Bhumi where Lord Chaitanya has his transcendental pastime. So, at this time, Jiva Goswami was being taken simply around the nine islands of Navadvipa. The center island is the island of Atma Nivedanam, self-surrender. Each island is connected with one of the nine practices of devotional service. The first island, Srimantadvipa, is the island of self-surrender, hearing. The next island, Godrandvip, is the island of chanting. Savana, Kirtanam, Smarana, Madhyadvip is remembering. Madhyadvipa, the remembering deity is Prahlad. In the border of Madhyadvipa, Narasimhadeva's temple is there, where Lord Narasimhadeva visited in the Satyayuga. It's right near Madhyadvipa. So, all these islands originally were divided by various rivers, which are offshoots from the Ganges. And each, there were 21 going in one direction and 14 going in another direction. And each of these are spiritually related to one of the sacred rivers, like the Tamrapani, the Brahmaputra, the Kaveri, the Sindhu, like so on. All the various rivers have got their representation in the original holy Dhamma. These divided up the total land masses to make it appear as if there are 9 islands. So, last night we discussed about Lord Jagannath. Now, Lord Jagannath, where his temple is situated, is in the island called Srimantadvipa. In Srimantadvipa, there is an extension of Jagannath Puri. It describes it in the previous period. There was a time when there was a demon called Rakshabahu, who used to like to cannibalize Brahmins. Especially he liked to rip their arms off or kill them. And then because he was bloody from the blood of so many Brahmanas, he got the name Rakshabahu, which means kind of like bloody hands. So the Pujaris and the Brahmanas came with Lord Jagannath, thought it would be a little dangerous for Jagannath to remain in that area considering the presence of his demon. So they took Lord Jagannath away and brought him to Navadvip, where he remained in seclusion for a period of time, while until the king of that area was able to exterminate this demon. And then they brought Lord Jagannath back. So the inner reason for this pastime is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that basically, as explained by Lord Nityananda to Jiva Goswami, is that Lord Jagannath wanted to visit Navadvipa. Sometimes, just like you see, the president likes to visit his allies. In the previous times in the British Empire, they had their territories all over the world. The King of England visited, and the Queen. They visited India sometime, even though it took them a long time by ship. They wanted to see their territory, their dominion. For one reason or another, it's Krishna's, these are all perverted reflections of Krishna's own desire. He likes to visit his holy places, where his abodes are. So Jagannath came up and visited Navadvipa Dham for some time, and then he went back. The place where he visited is at the same place where these Jagannath deities are established, in Srimantadvipa. The Srimantadvipa, each of these islands has got their own history of various activities and things happening. And as we go around the 9 islands and we take devotees on these parikramas, which are retracing the route that Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami. Nityananda explained that you can do one day per island, 9 days, which normally we don't have, or you can do 5 days, or you can do 3 days. So we normally do the 5-day tour. Of course, the thing was, Nityananda did it simply by walking. We take elephants, and buses, and boats, and so many things. So, because coming from the West, most of the devotees couldn't walk, you know, the 32 miles around the Navadvipa Dham in the heat of the sun and everything, and be in good health. Plus, there's so many other programs we do, like morning classes and different things. But basically, we are following part of the route, if not the total route, of Lord Nityananda's taking Jiva Goswami. He was able to go to some very remote places where there are no roads. And there are many places which are explained by Lord Nityananda to Jiva Goswami for which the exact location is lost or hidden. So at that time, Nityananda Prabhu explained to Jiva Goswami that Lord Chaitanya kept through his internal potency those slokas in the Veda which describe his appearance. He just kept them more or less undiscernible to all the pandits. Kind of just like if you had a computer and then you somehow things like these military computers are written classified. So unless you have the classified clearance, you can't get into that. Of course, nowadays all these kids are trying to break through those things. So the military had to remove their computers from the public telephone system. Well, we know that every time we read the Bhagavad Gita, we get something new out of it. Every time we read the Bhagavatam, we'll get some new inspiration. According to our purity, it's like a kind of automatic clearance, how much we can get out of it. And every time we read, we get a little more purified. We read more, we'll get something more. It goes on, like in its own sublime way. It's kind of a crude example. Well, somehow, by Krishna's mystic potency, by his internal energy, the sages, when they would read that there's going to be a Chana avatar, somehow it just wouldn't register and they just go on. That aspect of their intelligence was just covered by Maya. And so they, no one would, if they thought about it, they would just, you know, couldn't figure it out and kind of just go on, wouldn't register. Krishna covered their, you see, thought process in that way. After Lord Chaitanya appeared and after he disappeared from the planet, at that time, he gave told Nityananda that now my glories, they can be revealed after, because it's not going to interfere with his pastimes then. So at that time, the glories of the holy Dham, the glories of Lord Chaitanya, they have the full sanction to be revealed because they're not going to interfere with his pastimes anymore. Now people can know who he is and what was his actual purpose. You see, but he was able to perform his pastimes as a devotee without any hindrance. Only a few people could recognize him as the Supreme Lord at different periods, and he kept that normally very, how would you say it, sublimated, or very concealed from, and hidden from the general populace. If somebody would say, you're a Vishnu, he covers ears, Vishnu, 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 what a great offense. How can a living entity be called God? He would never allow anyone, even Advaita Gosai, when he would address him as Krishna or something, he would become very offended and run off. There's only one time that he, in the Mahaprakash 21-hour arti and worship that they performed, when actually, out of his causeless mercy, he agreed to reveal his Iswar nature. After that, he didn't reveal it again. You know, except for maybe momentary things like with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and so on. So, now, it's our, we have the complete authority to inform everyone of the actual position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the nature of his holy abode, Navadvip Dhamma, Vrindavan Dhamma, the abode of Krishna. These things, of course, there was no problem ever for the abode of Krishna, but even Lord Chaitanya and his abode and his name, these things can now be revealed. So, in this way, for this reason, Lord Nityananda was taking Jiva Goswami and showing him. This tour of Nityananda with Jiva Goswami is recorded in several books. One is the Navadvip Mahatma, another one is the Bhakti Ratnakar, and in other places also there is mention of it. So, as I mentioned, each of the islands has got, you might even consider which islands correspond, but in any case, each of the islands has got their history, their spiritual history. Just like in the same island where Lord Jagannath is, in the Dwarpar Yuga, Lord Balaram visited that island, and there was a demon called Maya Asura. This Maya Asura demon was harassing the sages, and they requested Lord Balaram to protect them, which is a duty of the government, to protect the brahmanas. So there he had a battle with this Maya Asura and liberated him. And the field, now this, the exact location of this was lost. So I've been looking for about 5-6 years now, trying to find the exact location. Maybe Satyanarayan was here, maybe he told you something about this. Well, he's not good at this research work. He's good at repair work. I sent him on this job, and I think we're going to burn them out. It's so hard to find any clue. We went into the village, and there was one old man, like half blind, could hardly have to be held up by two people. And then he said, "I know where the Maya Mat is. I know the place." So then one day we made an appointment, and he was taken out there, and he showed the one field on the side of the Jamangi River. He said, "This is the place." Later we found another old man who also confirmed that was the same place. So I wanted to get in these places which are completely lost to practically everyone. They're just like hidden, but are recorded in the Shastra. They have little pillars erected there just to, you know, giving the detail, the quotes from the scripture, the slokas, and the place in English and Bengali and Hindi, so that people can know that this is the actual place, and then get a little area in it. Because as it is now, there are many places like that which are recorded in the Shastra, for which, you know, like Bhakti Siddhanta found about more than half of them and erected temples there. But there are another, say, 50, another equal number which have not had any kind of shrine or you know, what do you call it, memorial or anything built there. And with time, although now people, in some of them it's well known, this is the place where this particular activity, it's a place where Lord Shiva came. He was so eager to go to Navadvip Dham, and his bull is very slow. On the way he was going, and I'm going to Navadvip, and on the way he met Lord Brahma. And he said, your swan is so much faster than my bull. Now let me borrow your swan so I can go to Navadvip Dham. And he hopped on the swan and he went down to Navadvip by the swan. So they call that the Hansa Bahan, or the place where Lord Shiva came to Navadvip Dham on the swan of Lord Brahma. Like this, there are many unique pastimes which are mentioned in Puranas, which are mentioned in different places, for which that deity is kept underwater the whole year and just taken out of the water. It's in a river and they worship it under the water. It's a unique, I don't know exactly why they do that, what's the reason, but they keep the deity underwater. And then once a year they take the deity out of the water and then they do a public worship outside the water. Then they put him out under the water. Like this, there's so many things to research. Prabhupada in 1977, November 7th, formed the Bhakti Vedanta Charity Trust to do this type of research, as well as to do other programs to try to unite the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And some of his godbrothers were appointed on the committee, as well as five of his disciples on that committee also. So mainly they give me the responsibility of doing the research work. And then I have, like Satyanarayan, other people assisting. Right now Nitai Chand Maharaj is assisting for the actual construction of it. So like this, in each island of Navadvip, you find that there's like a dozen things, or sometimes even more, that have happened through the ages, that all of the incarnations, when they go on their tour, they stop in the Navadvip Dham at different times, and they have certain pastimes. There was a time when Lord Shiva, sometimes he just spontaneously, anyway, I don't know, maybe there's enough time to go into more things right now. So, right there. Lord Shiva, he suddenly became overwhelmed with ecstasy just thinking about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in the Kali Yuga. And he started jumping up and saying, Gauranga, 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 Gauranga. It just became completely overwhelmed just in the mood of Lord Chaitanya giving out love for Krishna and his whole ecstatic pastimes. He could see in the future coming there in Kailash, he became completely ecstatic, just chanting Gauranga. Mother Parvati was completely shocked. She didn't know what was going on. They said, who is Gauranga? Just by hearing the name, my hairs are standing on end. And he explained that who Gauranga was, how in the Kali Yuga Krishna comes, not as the Supreme Person, but he comes just as a devotee. And he is giving anyone who comes in contact, gets this ecstatic love for Godhead. And the Mother Parvati, she said, I want to meet Lord Gauranga. I want to get his mercy. How can I do it? And Lord Shiva said, he's coming in the Kali Yuga. No, but I want to somehow see him now. So then he said, well, if you go to the holy Dham, Navadvip, where he appears, that's underneath his transcendental potency, and there he can be seen in any age, at any time, to those who he gives that blessing. But he is there, and if you go there, there's more chance that you could meet him. So then she came down, and she also did her worship in the same island of Srimantadvip where the Jagannath deities are. In fact, I'll explain how that island is named after this particular pastime. So there, Mother Parvati, she started doing her yoga meditation, chanting the name of Gauranga. Gauranga, by using that simple mantra, Gauranga, 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 she was meditating on Lord Chaitanya and worshipping him in various ways. So finally, after some time, Lord Chaitanya appeared to Mother Parvati. And Mother Parvati at that time was overwhelmed to see the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya. His lotus feet, which are always dancing in ecstasy of Krishna consciousness, his lotus eyes, which are going back almost to his ears, his beautiful long flowing hair, his garland with bumblebees and everything flying around, his broad chest just like a doorway, his narrow waist just like a lion's waist, and then his yellow garments, and she was completely overwhelmed to see Lord Chaitanya, and she fell at his feet and started to appeal to him that you are the most merciful incarnation. You give your mercy to everyone. All the fallen souls get your benediction without considering who's qualified, who's unqualified. You deliver everyone. So your followers, they're always criticizing me. They're delivering everyone, and Maya Devi, myself, I am the, so to speak, I'm always the bad person. So that's all right, but one thing is that won't I get the opportunity to be delivered? Can I be delivered? You're going to deliver everyone and not me? I'm not going to get the mercy? Am I so unfortunate that I won't get the mercy? You're delivering everyone and I have to remain without love for Krishna? And everyone else is getting love for Krishna except for me? Please have your mercy upon me, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And like this, she was pleading and begging. So then Lord Chaitanya revealed to her at that time, you see, although she's the expansion of the expansion of Radharani, you see, but at all times she might not be aware of it in a direct way. I mean, aware of that she's expansion, but not her intimate connection with Radharani, somehow by His divine mercy. He revealed to her how she was the expansion of Radharani, and that in the holy Dao of Namadip that she was not different. And there, she was able to perceive her connection with Srimati Radharani and experience love for Krishna in a very sublime way. So she resides there in a specific form known as Protamaya. So in the holy Dham, Maya Devi does not act in the same way. Especially in Navadvip Dham, she resides as Protamaya and she helps people to become Krishna conscious. So like this, at that time she took the dust from Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, she was pacified, and she put that dust on her forehead, just like the married women put the mark in their part of the hair. She put the dust there like that, anointed her head. And this part is called the Srimanta. So that island is named because she took the dust of that island and put it on her hair part, the Srimanta part of her lotus head. That island is known as Srimanta Dweep, or the island of Srimanta, the island where the dust was placed on the Srimanta location on the forehead of Maya Devi, Mother Parvati. So like this, each of the islands have their specific pastimes and histories. And then Lord Nityananda, after just showing these to Jiva Goswami, then again he'd go to the next island and continue with the various descriptions. So this is just a sampling of some of the activities which happen in one of the nine islands in Navadvip Dham. So you're all very, very fortunate to be living in New Navadvip here with the Panchatattva, expanding their pastimes, and the more that the Harinam Sankirtan Yajna is expanded throughout New Navadvip, certainly the presence of Lord Chaitanya will have a purifying effect on all the residents. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions? Yes?
I was just wondering, is there any research, the circular of the research that comes out here?
Yeah, good idea. There is a yearly magazine called the Mayapur Magazine. And once a year they give some of the highlights. But as far as something more frequent, I don't think we really did anything more frequent than that.
Was there any specific reason behind the CAA doing Navadvip and the nine islands in Hawaii?
You're just supposed to manifest the mood of Navadvip.
What was the process of the nine prophecies of Navadvip? You know, hearing the chanting, what was the special feature of Navadvip? Was that the island of hearing the chanting?
Well, Navadvip means nine islands. So within the nine islands, it's described that there's the one island. The Antadvip island is like a center, and the other nine islands come off as like eight petals in a lotus.
What is
so each of
Antadvip?
Antadvip is where Lord Chaitanya appeared. That's where the
process.
Atma Nivedana.
Oh.
That means self-surrender, full surrender, total surrender. Like here, Lord Chaitanya has appeared here, so then it's like this would be the place of total surrender.
Where's Mayapur?
That's a Antadvip. Mayapur means Antadvip. Mayapur is, that's like the is also mentioned in the Puranas, but it's also the legal name of the place. So Antadvipa is the spiritual spiritual name of the place.
So do those nine eyes have specific locations also here in the
Navadvipa? It's an absolute science, yeah. Your farm is the cultivation of Krishna.
So, what's the name of the
Any other questions?
You were saying that when the Lord appears in the disguise, incarnation, he still always likes to go around and visit the places where he has different pastimes.
Lord Chaitanya visited all the holy places in South India. Lord Nityananda visited all the holy places. Lord Balaram visited the holy places. Different incarnation. When Lord Narsingadeva, after his pastime, he stopped in Navadvipa. Especially Navadvipa, they all visited. But even in Vrindavan, you find that different incarnations have visited Vrindavan over the ages. And there are many, although I'm not well studied in the Vrindavan parikrama, but there are, I just generally know that in each island there are many pastimes and different incarnations went there. Lord Ramachandra visited Navadvipa down. Lord Krishna had to personally save Bhima in Navadvipa Dham. When Bhima was during the, Rajasuya or Agnihotra, he had to go and tour all the country and defeat them or just take the horse. So at that time there was a king in Navadvipa called Samudrasena, and he decided that if he could give a stiff fight to Bhima, so stiffly that he would be about to kill him, that then Krishna would come and save him because he's a great devotee of Krishna. That would give him an opportunity to have the darshan of Krishna. So then he attacked Bhima. It was a heavy fight. And he was about to defeat him, and Lord Krishna came and saved him. And then Samudrasena, like Bhishma, he surrendered to him. He just wanted to have his darshan. So Krishna also visited Navadvipa in that way. But Lord Balaram personally visited, spent some time and went out. Then Shiva visited there, Brahma did his tapasya there, the Suravi cow. Just then, so many avatars to visit. Varaha touched Navadvipa Dham.
When do you think the fortune of the devotees
Advaita Gosai was the first to figure it out. After some time of his starting the Sankirtan movement, first Advaita, then Srivas, then after everyone. Apart from some rare instances for different people. Different devotees in their life.
How did Haridas Thakur actually find out more than 30 people to find out?
I don't know the exact first point when Haridas Thakur. He was a devotee, and he was one of the ones who prayed for Krishna to come. Exactly at which point did he join Lord Chaitanya and Navadvip? He became authoritative, I would say. He was always visiting Advaita Gosai. But exactly at which exact point did Haridas Thakur join? Definitely he knew at the time when everyone else knew, but I don't have any specific, I can't remember any specific evidence, but I won't say that I studied all the things.